When I was a young boy, I was amazed by the stories of flight. In fact, just about every school project I had involved flight in one way or another. The reports were all written about the Wright brothers, who gave birth to flight. And my second favorite was Chuck Yeager, the man who was in the plane that broke the sound barrier. It was just truly amazing to me how amazing it would have been to either design it or be the first one in it when you do something that no one's done before. What it would have been like to be in all those models trying to break that sound barrier, doing something that everybody thought, as soon as you hit that wall, you're done. It's going to blow up. It'll never happen. So I used those stories over and over again. Started off in elementary school, and every time I changed teachers, one way or another, I was rewriting those same reports for all the teachers. Thankfully, they never compared notes to find out. More thankfully, my college professors never had access to my high school papers either. Well, I always thought that when I grew up, I was going to become an aeronautical engineer. And that's what I worked towards. When I got out of high school, I had very good scores. I got into every college I applied for. Rather going to some place like MIT, I go, I'm going to start off somewhere local. I'll go to Kent State where I can get through all the base classes, have everything covered for a more reasonable price, and then I'll transfer out and I'll start building that next plane, that next shuttle. I'll do something like that. That's not how it went for me. See, about 2 years after I was at Kent, the system changed. Aeronautical engineers were no longer what people wanted. It's when all the electronics were taking over. You didn't need so many people to design the plane. You needed more people who knew how to build the circuits. More people who knew how the electronics all plugged in and worked together. So I go, well, that's fine. I can change gears. I got the same base courses. I'll just transfer somewhere where they do electrical engineering. One of the best electrical engineering programs at that time was Akron University. So that's where I decided to transfer. So I was going to get there. I was going to make that next plane or shuttle. Well, I went there, I talked to them, and they told me that all my classes were going to transfer. Everything was settled. It's all laid out. I had that perfect plan. I knew exactly how it was going to go. Transferring in, it's only going to take me 2 years, 3 years if I take it easy. Because all I need are those core courses of the electrical engineering now. Well, I went in there and signed up for it, had everything set. I go to sign up for my first class, and they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Those classes you took at Kent don't count. You got to start over again. You got to start back the first step. We'll count your English and things like that, but your math, your science, they work a little differently here, so they're not going to line up with the ones in this program. Well, it wasn't exactly what I had planned. Okay, I can deal with that. I'll still push through anyway. Instead of 2-3 years, it's going to take me 5. But I'll still get there. So I went for it. And it still didn't go according to plan. I went from a high school graduating with honors to failing every course I was in because the way they were doing it wasn't the way I learned it. When I learned it, I took courses where they shortcutted everything. I had the right answers, it didn't matter. My work didn't match theirs. Honors student to dropout. Not exactly what I wanted. Did you know that if you drop out of every course in a college in one semester, they force you to go and talk to somebody? They want to make sure that there's nothing emotionally wrong with you, nothing mentally wrong with you, that you actually know you're really trying to drop out of these courses. I'm like, okay, that's a little embarrassing, but I could go do that. I mean, I don't know that many people out in Akron, so it'll work out. The counselor that I'm assigned to, now they got many counselors out there. It's a big campus. The counselor I had was the son of one of my teachers from school. Someone who knew me very well. So that was a little more embarrassing. Now I'm talking to somebody who's basically my age, trying to tell them that, well, I had all A's, now I got all F's. Not an easy thing to do. It was a struggle. It's not what I wanted. It wasn't my plan. I got a little angry. And I was asking God, what's going on? How can you do this to me? I had it all planned out since I was a little boy. My name was going to be in the books. I was going to build something new, something great. I worked hard in school. How do I go from honors to dropout? When I look back now, I can see the answers, but then I couldn't see those answers at that time. When you think back on your life, did it go the way you had planned it? There's very few people in this world who can say, this is how I planned my life to go, and this is how it went. It just doesn't happen that often. We can't see the big picture like God does. His will always goes through, not always ours. His plans tend to work out, not always ours. When it doesn't go our way, we're presented with a choice. We can get angry over things not going our way. Or we can do the biblical thing. We can rejoice over the blessings. We can get the peace of the blessings for everything going wrong. Doesn't really make a lot of sense when you try and think of it in that perspective. But as we go through this story today, it's going to clarify it. In John chapter 5, the healing at the pool on the Sabbath. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, an Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, people who are blind, lame, and paralyzed. John's laying out the base setting for us. He's giving us everything we need to know going into this, but he didn't give us many details. Do we know what feast it was? No, he didn't tell us that. He said it was a feast. We know it was a holiday. We don't know what holiday it was. Why? Because that wasn't important. He didn't put that detail in there. The actual location is also contested. There's different city names given for it. When you go back to the old translations, the original manuscripts, there's four different names given. Well, you know what? Those four different names don't matter either. What's important is we know that he was going there and that at this location, there's a spot where all the sick, all the lame are gathering because they want to be healed. People whose lives weren't going according to their plan because no one plans to be one of the sick. We just don't do it. What is important is that we remember all these people went there in search for one thing. They wanted that miracle in their life. They wanted that blessing. And they believed they could get it. So they kept struggling for it, and that's where they went. Then we come to verse 5. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine that? This man has been dealing with the same issue for almost four decades. He's at a place where people are getting healed, and it's not happening for him. Four decades. He's by himself. He can't get in the water. It says, the first ones in were generally the ones who got healed. He was trying. He kept working towards it, but he just wasn't getting there. Not according to his plan. We don't know how old this man was at the time. All we know is that for 38 years, he had been working towards becoming one of the healed. He wanted that burden lifted off of him. Well, eventually he got what he was working towards, but not in the way he'd seen it coming. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Can you imagine what that man would be thinking at that point? He'd been there for 38 years, and this man's just going to walk up to him and go, are you trying to get healed? There's probably a little attitude in his response. Can't you see I'm here? Can't you? Everybody here is waiting to be healed. Can't you tell I've been here? Anything about it? He's been an invalid for 38 years. You're going to be able to tell when you walk up to him. You can tell when someone's been going through something for that long. He walks up to him and goes, do you want to be healed? There's probably a little anger in his response. Rather than just yell, he replies back, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm going on the steps, another goes before me. I just can't get there. I keep trying and trying and trying, but I just can't get there. It's not going that way. Yeah, I want to be healed. Why do you think I'm here? A lot of emotion in it. Jesus said to him, so simple, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. No waving of hands. Jesus just spoke and it happened. Yeah, I know. In that man's mind, as soon as he said it, the first thing was probably coming to mind was he wanted to reply with, what's wrong with you? Don't you think I'd walk into that pool if I could? What are you telling me to walk for? For 38 years, I haven't been able to do this. Now you think of it, but something would have felt different in him because now he's healed. And we all know we feel different when we're healed than when we're sick. So we felt that difference. And that's what happened. He got up and he walked. Jesus healed the man through voice alone. This man who had been facing a difficulty for nearly four decades, simply by talking to him. What we got to ask ourselves is, has God answered prayers in our life? Has he answered things we've been requesting? Things that are in our desires, that are in our hearts and our minds? Are we still going, come on, I just can't get in that pool? Was the answer already there and we're just not seeing it yet? Then we move on, verse 10. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is this man who said to take up your bed and walk? And the man couldn't remember who had been the one to heal him. There were so many in that crowd, and Jesus had already left. So, he's been here for many years. He's been sick for nearly 38. He couldn't walk into the pool to be the first one. So we know he had troubles. We're not sure if he had to crawl or if he was just walking really slow. Maybe he had a cane. We're not sure of the exact detail. All we know is he definitely wasn't picking up that bed and walking like a normal person. 38 years he's been going through it. And now these Jews that are around him see him walking with his bed. He took it up and he was walking. And that was against the rules. But are they shocked that this man is walking? Was their first response, how can you walk? Did you get in the pool first? Was it stirred today? Their response was, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Why aren't you going according to the plan? Why aren't you following that rule? They weren't rejoicing over the fact that this man was healed. They were upset. He did something different. He didn't go according to the plan. They didn't comment that this man who had been sick for 38 years is now walking, able to carry his bed, healed. All they cared about was that rule. And they got angry over it. So angry, they were completely blind to the fact that this man has been healed. After nearly four decades, the man is healed. And they're not commenting at all on that. Because that anger is blinding them. Do you have that anger in your life? Is God working in your hearts and you don't see it? Could he be answering prayers and you're not realizing it? When things weren't going my way, I was very upset. I went from an honors student to a college dropout. I had everything planned, everything looked lined up. I thought I had the perfect plan. I thought it's what I was calling. I mean, after all, how many people do you know that use the same reports all because they're so fascinated with flight? 2 years in, they lay everybody off. That wasn't in my plan. I can get around that. Well, I couldn't get around it. And I got angry. I was upset. I couldn't see what God was laying out for me. I couldn't see his hand at work because I was so upset things weren't going my way. It wasn't what I had planned. It's not how it was supposed to happen. The anger was blinding me to God working in my life. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't go through that. When I think about it today, all I can think about is how thankful I am for that. But then, that thankfulness wasn't there. That peace wasn't there. That joy wasn't there. And can you imagine what it was like to try and go home to my parents who know I was graduated with honors? I know I did good, and I knew my math. I knew my science. I had taken every physics course that Kent State Trumbull offered. Now I'm flunking a physics course. Can you picture trying to explain that to your parents? Can you picture what the parents are thinking? I'm sure you have an easier time with that one. Ah, he went away, now he's just goofing off. There's no way he'd just be failing and still trying. Wasn't an easy conversation. I had decisions to make again. Decisions that I never planned on making. I knew what I was going to do. I knew where I was going to work. I didn't know. I just thought I did. Now I have to answer that. Now I have to deal with that. I was young, inexperienced. When you're that age, you think you are just one step away from conquering the world. You don't realize you're one step away from the world conquering you. It's not how your mind works. That anger could blind you. It certainly blinded me. But now in the next few verses, John ties it all together for us. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. See, they were no longer mad at the man who was doing the wrongs. They were mad at the man who was leading these people to be rebellious, because now they're breaking the rules. They didn't care that this man was the one doing the healing. All they seen was, this man keeps going on like this, more and more people are going to be taking up their beds and walking. They're not going to listen to these rules. They're not going to be following the plan that is laid out. That's what they were getting blinded to. All they seen was that plan. They didn't see, Jesus is here. Jesus is healing. Man, sick for 38 years, now walking, no issues. Their anger at knowing this is how it's supposed to go, and things not going that way, blinded them to everything. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things. I also find it hard to believe this man who had been sick for nearly 4 decades, when people got mad at him, I'm going, hey, look, I'm healed. How can you be mad at that? I'm healed. Instead, he's going, well, don't be mad at me. It's Jesus. He told me through. How's that for a thanks? Waited for this miracle for 38 years. He gets it. He's got to throw the person under the bus who healed him. It was him. Don't get mad at me for it. Nowhere in this passage does it ever mention that this man was thankful. When we have struggles in our lives, are we thankful? Are we angry? Do we try and find someone to blame for it? I know I was definitely blaming the campus. I was blaming the person who said, everything will transfer for you. I was blaming the professors who were saying, it doesn't matter, you got the wrong answer. Your work didn't match mine. I was blaming everybody. I couldn't see the blessing Jesus was bestowing upon me at that time. I was blind to it. When God works in our lives, are we ever thankful for the work he's doing in our lives? Can we be thankful when things don't go as we want? My life didn't go as planned. My plans completely fell through. I was upset when I was younger. I was blinded by my hatred for things not going my way. All that base work I did preparing, and they're telling me everything you learn doesn't matter here. The science in Warren didn't match the science in Akron. I was upset. But if that hadn't happened then, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because I went from being honors to a college dropout. The job I had at the time, I'm like, okay, I'll keep going. I go back. I just need a break from college. Had a job working quality, an engineering company, dealing with circuit boards. Like, it's exactly what I need to learn. They gave me this great project to do. They laid me off when I was three parts from finishing it and gave it to somebody else, and he got the credit. I was getting upset. Nothing was going according to plan. Because I lost that job, I got a different one. I got the job where it was John Snipe then, it's Turquette now. Same job I have today. The job that supports my family. If I didn't lose a job, if I didn't become a dropout, I wouldn't have ended up there. I wouldn't be able to support my family. Because I had that job, I wasn't working so hard on school. I go, okay, I'm working on a job now. I'll build my career up through work. Originally, the plan was go to college, get the job, then start looking. Now it's, well, I tried college. I ain't cutting that college. I'm getting the job. Now I can start looking for my wife. And I found my wife, Sarah, and I'm very thankful for that. I have a 3-year-old daughter, Kira, now. So many blessings, all because I flunked out of college and became a dropout. Now, here's an even better question. How many college dropouts do you know that ended up going back to school, getting their associates, getting a bachelor, and then going into master's program? As a pastor, I'm able to relate to somebody who's been fired. I'm able to relate to somebody who couldn't cut it at college and had to drop out, or flunked everything, had to admit that to their parents. I can relate to somebody who had to go get a blue-collar job. I can relate to somebody who finished college, who went to a master's course. God put me through all those struggles because he wanted to strengthen me. He wanted to give me some knowledge. If anything, today, I'm just thankful that he didn't decide I needed to be thrown in a pit. He didn't decide I needed to be sold as a slave. He didn't decide I needed to be thrown in jail. He laid it out fairly easy for me to get the knowledge I needed. And I wouldn't change a single thing. At the time, I let that anger blind me. Now today, I know. I've read the word. It's in my heart. I know I'm going to have to face struggles. I know there's going to be pains in life. Without pain, you can't grow. So we have to be thankful when we're going through those struggles because God is causing us to grow. What do you tell kids when they're little and they're starting to hit that growth spurt? Why is my arm hurt? Why do my legs hurt? It's a growing pain. It's the same thing spiritually. There's growing pains. When God wants to give you more responsibilities, first you have to get the strength to get it. You talk to anybody who's in weightlifting, they're going to tell you the day after they do their strength training, they're sore. The muscles are growing. There's a growing pain. It's the exact same spiritually. We need to be sure we don't let our hatred for our plans falling through because our plans weren't that great. God's plans are always better. We need to keep that on our heart. We need to keep that in our mind. No matter how hard of a struggle we're going through, there's a reason for it. If we let go of the anger, we start looking for the blessing. It becomes a little easier. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guiding hand being at work in our lives. We thank you for the knowledge that we can fully trust in you for the guidance. That we know no matter what struggle we have to face today, you're preparing us to conquer something tomorrow. We thank you for the blessings you've given us in our lives, both the good ones and the ones that at the time we didn't realize were a blessing. We pray that we always remember that it's not our will, but your will that is to be done. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Life never went as I had planned. I'm truly thankful for it. The more years that go by, the more I'm just amazed at how one single thing different could have changed everything. God truly knows what's going on. We need to make sure that our hatred for our plans falling through never blind us to the blessings that are currently there. Professor of mine put it this way. Don't ask yourself, how can I get out of this mess? When you're going through that struggle, that is not the question that you need to ask. How do I get out of this mess? That was the only question on my mind when I was going through it all. How am I going to get out of this? Instead of asking how, we need to ask ourselves, what can we get out of this mess? Because what we get out of it is where the blessing lies. So no matter what struggle you're going through in life, ask yourself what you can get out of it. Because when you think that way, you'll get the peace and the joy that God promises. Please stand with me as we sing hymn 402, Faith is the Victory.